We have Sheldon Reed is going to preach for us tonight. I first met Sheldon in Uganda, I think, of all places. I really certainly got to know him there. Sheldon and I went with my father to speak at a pastor's conference. And it was at that pastor's conference where Peter first invited me to come back and start doing evangelistic crusades in Uganda. And Sheldon was there hiding out in the back seat, and he said, if you go, I'm coming with you and bringing a band. And so he somehow weaseled his way in, and so the very first time that I was there, Sheldon was there with a band from Winnipeg. Sheldon was pastoring a church in Winnipeg that they had planted, him and his wife. And so it was kind of a dream. It had been a dream of yours to do that. It was a dream of mine. And so together we kind of cried and rejoiced and wept as God was making this dream come true. And through that, we built a real good friendship. It wasn't long after when Sheldon felt that God had asked him to lay their church down in Winnipeg. They turned it over to Church of the Rock with Mark Hughes in Winnipeg. It is now the North Campus for Church of the Rock in Winnipeg. And Sheldon waited for his next assignment. And it came in a dream, if I recall, where God showed him a parking lot, a circular parking lot, and he couldn't get the dream out of his mind, and so he began to Google parking lots that were circles and discovered that the very parking lot he dreamed about was in Conception Bay, Newfoundland. Sheldon was born in Newfoundland, and God was calling him home to come and plant a church. And when we heard that Sheldon was going to go plant a church, we said, we want to get behind this guy because we know him and Candace and the kind of people they are. We believe in you guys. And we're excited to go all the way to Eastern Canada and see what God's going to do through Revive Church. And Sheldon's here tonight to revive us. Let's do it.
Thank you, Joel. How many are excited to be at Global Focus? Oh, come on. Are you excited? I'm excited. It's so good to be here with you. I always say when I come here, it's like my favorite church in the country is when I come here. And I'm so happy to be with you tonight. My wife and I, we both share that. It is so great to be here. I love the flags and all the great outfits from around the world. In Newfoundland, we wear sweaters. So, you know, it's nothing fancy, but we live on the North Atlantic, so we wear sweaters. If I wore some of the things, I'd just freeze. And so, anyway, I'm here in a sweater, and I'm going to do my best without dying of heat. The theme of this conference is For the One, and we've heard a couple really great testimonies. Let me give you mine real quick before I start tonight. I'm so thankful that God is concerned about the one. And he's so concerned that he knows us individually. He knows our needs, the Bible says, before we even ask. He knows us intimately. And I want to say tonight that it was not that long ago that I was the one who was completely lost while still in the work of the ministry. Was in a very difficult season, a season where it seemed like no matter how hard we worked, less and less things that were happening that we knew that were supposed to happen. It was a season where I struggled greatly with my faith and even with my walk with God. It felt like we were working and working and working and seeing no results. I'm not sure if you've been there. It was a season of struggle and a real test of our faith and my faith. And you know, it's a season where you question everything. You question your gift, you question your call, you question your leadership, you question everything, your value even. And I entered a season from there where I began to struggle with depression. Listen, I know what it's like to sit in my church office with my head on my desk feeling like the biggest loser in the world. I went from a place of believing for the power of God to beginning to pray for enough grace to just get through another day. But I want to testify tonight that that's not the place I'm in tonight. That God met me where I was in that time. And he stood near me, which is what I'm going to talk about tonight. And he met me. He knew my needs, but I didn't even know how to express what was going on in my heart and my life. And he has restored everything that I felt was being lost. He's given me a new hope and a renewed and strengthened faith. He's confirmed to me again that according to Romans chapter 11, that the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. They are without repentance. That just because I was going through a difficult season doesn't mean that it was over and ministry was over for me. And he's put in my heart a fire for revival that I have never had before in my life. He's opened doors that go far beyond what I could possibly have imagined. really cool. So he's opened doors, and we are planting a church in a place that I love, my home province, where I grew up as a boy. And it's been 30 years, but now we're there. My wife and family, we live there, and that's now our home. And he's opened doors, and he's brought us people. And I'm not going to give you a bunch of updates. You have to see me at my table after. And I'll even give you a little yellow card so you can get a prize. And he's brought us people, and our home group is functioning now on Sunday nights. But another open door that God completely opened was he gave me an opportunity to be an offshore chaplain for ExxonMobil, the oil company. And so, get this, I get to once a month fly out on a helicopter 150 miles out to the North Atlantic and be on an oil rig. On one oil rig, I'm at with 280 employees, and on another oil rig at 200 employees. And I get to go there, and I get to preach the gospel. And I didn't apply for this job. They actually came to me and said, would you consider coming and doing this for us? And I didn't even know these people. God just opened the door. And I'm actually the first non-Orthodox chaplain to ever set foot on one of these oil rigs, you know. So instead of when we do memorial services, instead of praying for the souls wherever they may be, I get to go there and preach the comfort that comes from knowing Jesus. And I get to share the gospel with them. And guess what? They're not going anywhere because they're surrounded by water. On all four sides, I got a captive audience. I mean, the doors that the Lord has opened for us, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And see, the Word of God is true. That great are the plans that the Lord has for us, plans to prosper us and plans to give us hope and plans to give us a future. It's true when the Bible says that he makes all things work together for good for those that love him and those that are called according to his purpose. The Word of God is true that he is able to do immeasurably more than anything we could ever ask, dream, or imagine. It's according to his power that's at work in us. Friends, tonight, I'm here to tell you tonight that we serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. And you see, all that I had to do, all that my wife and I had to do, we just had to say yes. We just had to say yes to the call of God in our lives to go and to minister and do what he's called us to do. You see, if I had said, well, maybe, if I had said when God called me to go, if I would have said, someday, Lord, someday when I feel like I got my life together, maybe someday when I get to be in a better place, maybe someday when my finances are a little more in order, maybe then I'll answer that call. You know what? If that would have been my decision, I would not have allowed God the opportunity in my life to open a whole bunch of doors that he opened that I never thought were possible. My yes opened doors. We sang tonight in the song, and I'm not going to get all the words because it's the first time I ever heard about God. Was it opening doors? Is that one of the things? Make a way, open doors, right? You know how God does that? He does that when we say yes to the call of God that's in our lives. If I'd have said no, if I'd have said maybe, if I'd have said not right now, then those doors would never have opened. That's how God opens doors. He uses us. And we walk through them in Jesus' name. Tonight, friends, your obedience to the call of God on your life will open doors for you that you never thought were there, that you never thought were even possible. And it activates the promises of God that we know are true in each one of our lives. I believe tonight that tonight and throughout this week in that global focus, I believe that some of you are going to receive a call of God on your life. And let your answer be, yes, Lord. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm just going to say yes. And there's others of you tonight that you've had a call on your life, but your answer was someday. Your answer was, I'm not quite ready yet. Your answer might have been, I'm not stable enough financially, or whatever the reason was. I believe tonight that God's going to call you again. I believe that this weekend he's going to whisper again in your ear that call, that same call. You say, well, why would you say that? Because the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. He's called you, friends. He's called each and every one of us. Tonight I'm going to be speaking out of Acts chapter 23, and it looks like I better get to it. And so I'm going to do my best. We're going to catch up with Paul. And Paul, we need to know in Acts chapter 23, he's been on one of his marathon journeys that Paul so often took, and he was preaching the gospel and of course finding trouble along the way, and he was no stranger to difficult circumstances. And to give you the context this evening as quickly as I can, he's traveling on his way to Rome. despite many warnings and many even prophetic words not to go. But of course, Paul was, he was compelled to go. He knew it was his call. He knew it was his destiny. He knew that, that the Lord had called him to do this. So he was going forward no matter what. And as he was ministering, some trouble happens. And as the story goes, he gets arrested. He gets beaten and thrown into prison, as he so often did. If you read that in chapters 20, 21, 22, you kind of follow this journey that he's been on. And in chapter 23, he's just finished pleading his case or stating his case in front of the council. And on all outside appearances, it would have appeared like this is not going to end well here today. In fact, the meeting went so poorly that the commander ordered the guards to drag him out of there because they thought the crowd was going to tear him to pieces. That's how much trouble he was having. That's the kind of day he was having. And then so they brought him back and they put him back in chains. They put him back in the prison. And I want us to pay attention tonight to one verse in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. Listen to what it says. It says, "The following night, the Lord stood by him." The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." The NIV says, "The Lord stood near him." We got to get our heads around this tonight, friends. The Lord stood near him. Now, what I want us to catch and understand from the very beginning tonight is the indication given in the original text here tonight is not that Paul was having a dream. It's not that he was having a vision or he was conjuring up some kind of mind over matter, trying to encourage himself or even stir himself up. The actual text would indicate to us that the Lord himself stood near and was present. In the original language, it's the word episteme. It means to stand over, to be present, to stand by. And it's used, listen, it's used especially for people, for persons who come upon one suddenly. We gotta get our heads there tonight and our hearts there. You see, Paul wasn't just imagining things. He wasn't having a dream or a vision like Joel said, "I had a dream." This was Jesus. This was the Lord actually standing near, present, and came suddenly. You know what? Sometimes we're really good at using the fancy church words like God is omnipresent. You know, it sounds really great, but sometimes it can become kind of mystical, like we can't really get our heads around. We can't really understand it fully. You see, this is it right here. This is God showing up in the middle of hopeless circumstance, and he shows up and he stands near and he stands beside and he stands over us. Friends, tonight, we don't only serve the God that goes before us, we serve the God who stands beside us. He stands nearest. The scripture is true that he really is closer than the mention of his name. He really is. He stands near to us, especially in difficult places, especially in the hopeless places, especially in those dark times and those dark nights. I don't know what kind of place tonight that you've been walking in. For the ministry partners that are here tonight from near and far, I don't know what kind of year you have. I haven't probably spoke to hardly any of you this year because we're all over the world. I don't know what kind of places that you've had to walk in this past year, but perhaps we need to understand, we need to be reminded tonight that we serve a God who stands near in our times of trouble. That he is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Psalms chapter 46:1. I think that's the next, there it is. Psalms chapter 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. It's not present as in a gift. It's in a present as in now, the here and now. And again, if you were to study out this scripture, you'd find some similarities to the one we just read a moment ago, is that he is actually with us. The word present in this verse, it means to meet, it means to encounter, it means to come upon, to appear and to be recognized. Yes, he is near me. It's not just a concept, it's not just an idea. There's a reality to it, there's a truth to it. God is your refuge and strength. He's my refuge and strength. He is a very present help. So I believe that tonight, I believe that this week, and I believe that God wants to meet with you. I believe he wants to meet with us, friends, tonight. He wants us to encounter him in a new and a fresh way. I believe he wants to come upon us, and even suddenly. so that he can stand near us and stand by us and stand over us no matter where we are tonight and what we're going through, no matter how impossible it seems. We do know, of course, that the Spirit of God is in us, right? We get that. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells in us. But we also understand the Spirit also comes upon us. And the Lord himself stands near us. And he wants to reveal himself. He wants to be recognized. And I believe he'll do it suddenly. If we can go back to Acts chapter 23 for just a minute, I'm going to read that scripture again. But the following night, the Lord stood by him, or stood near him, and he said, "Be of good cheer, Paul." Paul's in prison. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome. There's two things. I don't have some neat, tidy three-point sermon. I got to be honest, I struggle with this one. When I prepare a sermon, I can usually do it just like it comes to me and I write it, and usually in a day it's done and I feel good about it. I've been toiling over this for weeks and it was tough, and I still only got 2 points, Pastor Joel, so I'm going to just go with what I got. I got 2 points. There's two things I want to know about the scripture. Number one, the Lord stood near Paul. And number two, the Lord said exactly what Paul needed to hear. The Lord stood near him, and he said exactly what Paul needed to hear. He said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you've testified to me in Jerusalem, you must also bear witness in Rome." Now, that may not seem overly significant to us, but I need you to know tonight that it was very significant to Paul. Because Paul was stuck in a prison in Jerusalem, but what was really on his heart is he wanted to be in Rome. That was where his journey was supposed to be taking him. And all of a sudden, the train went off the track, and here he is in prison in Jerusalem. But his purpose in his heart and where his passion was is he wanted to get to Rome. He knew it was the place that he was called to. He knew it was part of his destiny to get to Rome and to minister there and to reach the people there. But he is here stuck in prison. And if we could just step into his shoes for a moment, you just got arrested, you got beaten, you're in prison, and you gave your side of the story, and things went crazy, and people were trying to kill you, and it just does not look good at this moment. But knowing that part of your purpose was to fulfill a certain call on your life to be in a different place, you have to appreciate tonight in this place, that was a tough day for Paul. He had a lot of tough days, but this was one of his tough days. If I could put a little more context around it, Paul right now is in the 23rd chapter of Acts. He's on his third missionary journey, and he's already written his letter to the Romans because he's trying to go to Rome, right? And I want to turn to Romans chapter 1. It's not going to be on the slide because I purposely didn't put it there because I don't want you reading it. I want you to listen to me. Is that okay? Romans chapter 1. He writes to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace and peace from you, from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you that your faith is spoken out throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Just listen, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I may have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor to both Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So as we jumped into Paul's story here in Acts chapter 23, he's been on this journey to Rome. He's already written them the letter. And if you listen and you pay attention to the language he uses in this letter, it's to all who are in Rome, beloved of God. You can hear the affection that Paul uses in his tone as he writes to him. Don't miss the fact that Paul himself is a Roman citizen. And I believe that's one of the reasons why he was compassionate towards them and he just so longed to be with them. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. If by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you, for I long to see you. I long to be there. I long to get to where my destiny says I'm supposed to be. Friends, Sunday, have you ever longed for something, but you weren't there yet? Have you ever longed to see something, but you haven't seen it yet? Have you ever longed to step into a place you knew you were called to, but you're not there yet? Have you ever longed to move forward, but there always seems to be an obstacle in the way? Paul goes on to write, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach." There's a call of God on his life to preach to the Romans and to be there and to share his life with them. And he is ready. He's longing to be there. There's a call to ministry that was alive in his heart. He wanted so much to be there. And that's exactly where we find Paul in Acts chapter 23. When the Lord came and stood near him, stood over him, and spoke to him exactly what he needed to hear in that very moment. Notice that the Lord just didn't come and pat Paul on the shoulder. There, Paul. It's okay, Paul. I know this is a hard day, Paul. He just didn't come and console, but he came and he spoke some things over Paul. And he spoke to what Paul was concerned about in his heart at that moment. How am I going to get to Rome now? I'm stuck here. I'm in prison and so on. God spoke, the Lord spoke directly into his purpose and into his calling. You know, as I testified tonight, as I opened my message, I said that the Lord was near me when I was in a very dark place in my life, in my ministry life, and where everything I was believing seemed to be crashing down around me. But you see, God just didn't come in and clean up the mess for me. There was a journey that I had to take. There were some things that I had to do. But God did stand near me in that season. He spoke to me the things that I needed to hear. He spoke into my calling. He spoke into my purpose. He spoke to the very things in my life that life and circumstance had called into question. Calling. Anointing. And he brought me to the place where, yes, he did speak to me in a dream about the revival of a place that's so near and dear to my heart. And even though I could have given him 1,000 reasons why I couldn't do it, there was one reason why I could. It's because he called me. Tonight, you got to hear me, friends. Tonight, there may be 1,000 reasons you think you can't do it, but there's one reason you can. It's because God called you to it. One reason. The calling. The calling that's without repentance. The calling that is irrevocable. And you got to know also that when God calls you, he equips you for the task. He puts his anointing, his divine ability on your life and he will open doors to you that you did not know existed. He'll cause you to function in things you never thought you could. He'll cause you to think in ways that you never thought in before. And it all comes back to the gift and the call that he places in us. I believe tonight that God's going to put a call of God on your life tonight. For those of you that don't yet know what that is, he wants you to know. It's not a mystery. He wants you to know. And he wants to open doors for you in Jesus' name. He's going to stand near us tonight, this weekend. He's going to speak life into things that it feels right now that they're dying. Paul had a dream in his heart to be in Rome, and God spoke directly to the dream. You may be here tonight and you've had some dreams of ministry. You've had some dreams of accomplishing great things for God. But you know what? Life happens. Circumstance happens. That sometimes it's beyond our control. And sometimes when it happens, the dreams begin to fade until they're almost forgotten. But can I just speak over you tonight that I believe tonight that God by his Spirit is going to speak into your dreams. He's going to breathe life into the dreams that have been dying. He spoke directly to Paul. Purpose, calling, spoke directly into his future, into the things that he longed for. And I believe he'll do it again. And I believe that he'll do it here. You say, well, why do you believe that? Because God is who he says he is. That God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And because that's true, you can often see a pattern through the word of God of how God operates and how he functions. No, he doesn't always do things the same way, but it is easy to see patterns of how God ministers to us, his children. Just as he spoke to Paul, and he stood near him, and he spoke into the things that he needed to hear at that moment. It's the same way that he stood near Moses and the Israelites at the edge of the Red Sea, and he spoke to them exactly what they needed to hear. Move on. Go forward. Take the journey with me. Just as he stood near the three Hebrew boys as they faced the fiery furnace, and he stood near them, he spoke to me, though the fire may be around you, you will not be burned. And just as he stood near Gideon in the bottom of the wine press, he stood near him and he spoke into the very thing that was Gideon's struggle. I'm the least, and I'm the weakest, and I'm the worst, and I can't do anything about my situation. But God spoke to his purpose. He said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. He spoke to the destiny. He spoke to the calling. The Lord stood near Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones, and he said, I'll put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. He stood near Joshua at the edge of the promised land and said, every place you put your foot shall be yours. I believe tonight that in this place, I believe over the course of this weekend, that God is going to speak to you. He's going to put a calling on your life, or he's going to confirm a calling in your life. If you've been here and you've been walking through difficult places, I believe that God wants to stand near you tonight. I believe he wants to stand over you this weekend. He wants to speak into your dreams. He wants to speak life into your situations. Because he doesn't want you to give up. He doesn't want you to let go. If you're here tonight and you've been in a season of obstacles, kind of like Paul, if you've been in a place where your calling and your purpose are being called into question, and you've said, God, how will that ever happen now? If you've been struggling to see the reality of the dream of God in your life, then I want to say to you tonight, in Jesus' name, Jesus, the Lord will stand near you tonight. And I believe he will speak to you. I believe he will come upon you suddenly, and he will speak into your situation. He'll speak into your destiny, into your future. He wants to open doors for us, friends. Like I testified today, he's opened doors for us that I couldn't have planned it. I couldn't have dreamt it up. I couldn't have put it together. But because I said yes to the call, it activates God's promise over my life. It activates the word of God. We know the word of God is living and it's active and it's supposed to produce things in our life. Do you know how it produces things? When we say yes to the Lord's call, when we say yes to his instruction, when we walk in our lives in obedience to what he's called us to do. Because you do understand, right? We do have a choice, each one of us. When it was time for Joel to take over the leadership of this church, you had a choice. You could have said, No, I'm a teacher. I just want to coach basketball. But he didn't. He answered the call. And here we are. And I know there's many testimonies among the partners. There's so many testimonies of that, not just mine, not just Joel's. God wants to open doors for us tonight, friends. And he wants to stand near you. I feel like in my heart tonight, there's a bunch of people here tonight. And you need the Lord to stand near you right now. You need him to stand over you and to speak into your situation. The way he has shown us over and over and over again in the scripture that he does. We're going to give you an opportunity tonight to respond to the word. We're going to give you an opportunity to receive prayer. We're going to give you an opportunity to position yourself to receive something tonight. Can we stand across this place tonight? Let's close our eyes. Let's just take a moment. Jesus, we thank you tonight for your faithfulness. We thank you tonight, God, that you are always faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you cannot be unfaithful because then you would cease to be God. Lord, as we have gathered in this place tonight, as we've gathered, yes, to celebrate all that you've done, we're going to celebrate ministries, we're going to celebrate victories, we're going to bury one another's burdens if we've been through trials, but Lord, tonight we've come to meet with you. And I believe that according to your word tonight, that you want to stand near us because you want us to encounter you. Lord, I pray for anyone that might be here tonight that have been walking in difficult places, dry places, hopeless places, sick places. Lord, just as you did with Paul in a Jerusalem jail, I pray in Jesus' name, would you stand near us tonight? God, would you stand over us tonight? God, would you allow us to encounter you tonight and speak life into the things that we thought were dying? God, would you revive dreams tonight in this place? God, would you revive passion tonight in this place for ministry? God, would you, for those of us who've been called and we've said, no, not now, not yet, not ready, Lord, would you begin to renew some of those things that we thought we missed? Someone needs to hear me tonight that it's not too late. But God's grace is sufficient for us tonight to call us again. In Jesus' name.